Welcome to Talking Up Eagle Mountain, where we discuss a variety of topics related to Eagle Mountain City government, services, programs, goals. I am Mayor Tom Westmoreland, and I'll be your host for this episode. The subject today is coronavirus preparation. So we know this is on a lot of people's minds. So today we have with us our public information officer from Utah County Health Department, Aislinn Tolman-Hill. Thank you for being with us today.
Absolutely, Mayor. Thank you for having me. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Yeah, this will be a great discussion. We're looking forward to hearing what you have to share with us. We also have with us from the city, Jeff Weber, our emergency manager of Eagle Mountain City.
Thank you, Mayor, for having me here.
And Max Straw, our public utilities manager, Eagle Mountain City. So one of the things that Mac is going to share with us is a little bit about water.
Correct. Thanks for having me.
This is a very current topic, one that we're all concerned about, and we want to make sure that we're well prepared. But of course, we don't need to panic. We just need to be informed. So, Aislinn, can we start with you? What is coronavirus? Maybe let's start there. What is COVID-19?
So, great question. And I will put it out there. I'm a public information officer. I'm not a nurse.
Okay.
I'll do my best to take a stab at that. A coronavirus is actually, coronavirus is a type of virus. A COVID-19 is a type of coronavirus. So it is novel. So this is a new thing that we're seeing. So that's part of the struggle that we kind of, at a very high level, are still grappling with a little bit to try to figure out. We know what the incubation period is on this thing, but we're still trying to get real specifics on how many days is someone, we know that you can be infectious and not be showing symptoms. So at this point, we know that somewhere around 2 or 3 days, and we're doing our best kind of at the CDC level to get that really nailed down and get that really accurate, because it is, again, a novel or new type of coronavirus.
So we're trying to nail down that sort of incubation period when you don't show symptoms, but you have been infected. Maybe that's the, I don't know if that's,
and you're infectious, so meaning you can be contagious.
Yeah,
you
can spread it to others.
Yes, and we know that the incubation period is 14 days.
Okay.
So let's say you had been exposed to someone that tested positive for COVID-19. If you had been exposed to someone 3 weeks ago and you yourself are not showing symptoms, you're now past that incubation period of 14 days because it's now been 3 weeks.
Okay. So tell me if I have this right then. So coronavirus itself is nothing new. That has a lot of different forms.
Correct.
That we're very, it's been around for a long time. We've dealt with for a very long time. It's a very common medical thing to deal with. It's the unknowns in the particular strain of COVID-19 that we're really trying to dial in.
Correct.
Okay. Where can we go for information resources? Where can we go? Let's say, you know, what should someone do if they think they need to be tested?
You know, I think that's also a really important question. One of the most important things that we're putting out there right now, and I say we as really a state and as a nation, is if you are feeling like you have symptoms being a cough, shortness of breath, and a fever, would be to don't rush physically to a healthcare provider or an emergency department. What we would ask you to do is to call ahead. If you physically show up somewhere and you do have COVID-19, you could infect others around you. And that's really what we're trying to limit at this point. So calling ahead or using a telehealth resource is really, really important at this point. So being aware of what those symptoms are, also not relying on our friends and neighbors to be your physician to help you diagnose what you might have. That's also a really important thing we would put out there. Some of the resources that are important for you to be aware of. Looking at credible information. So Google is not necessarily a physician. We'll put that out there. Facebook is not a physician. Twitter is not a physician. Our credible sources of information include the CDC, the Utah Department of Health, our local health departments. Coronavirus.utah.gov is a great website that we are looking at locally for the state, where we're pulling in information from the CDC. That's where you can also get local information about what's going on in Utah. So that is probably a really great source for you, probably a great one-stop shop for everyone. We also have social media related to what's going on in Utah. So that coronavirus.utah.gov, again, is a great one-stop shop for you. We do think it is important that people be aware that we might need to start practicing some social distancing measures. And that means, that does not mean panic. That means just be aware of large gatherings, and social distancing also is that's a public health term as well. So that means we might be looking at large community gatherings, and we're also going to keep a really close eye on how many cases we do get. And that's something that the local health departments and the state health department will just keep an eye on. One example of social distancing we have seen in other parts of the world, we're seeing them practice really good examples of social distancing, where schools and higher education facilities are being closed for a certain amount of time just to limit large groups of people being together. And so that's just an example of social distancing. And so those are measures that we might need to look at in the future. So those are also things that at a higher level in the state, we have local health departments, the state health department, legislators. We have all those people kind of coming together to see how would we do that and to make sure that we would roll those decisions out consistently across the state if that needed to be done here in Utah.
Aislinn, as you're seeing data come in, and I imagine this is almost on a daily basis, who are those that are most at risk and should be the most concerned?
Those portions of our population that, like you said, are going to be most at risk would include certainly the elderly, those folks that are immunosuppressed, and those really can include any, you know, people in any age demographic, people that are smokers or have been smokers. So those people also with lung diseases. So we would caution those with any of those kind of underlying conditions just to take extra measures to really be aware and try to protect themselves.
Yeah, that's my understanding, is where this virus really attacks or creates symptoms is really in the lungs. That's the area of concern.
Absolutely. The virus really is a type of pneumonia, and it really does affect the lungs, absolutely.
Okay, so we've talked a little bit about some health concerns, some health tips. But certainly where we don't want this to go is where it affects the economy, right? Where it slows down business and supply lines and, you know, typical everyday needs, right? So what impacts do you anticipate, if any, at this point?
One of the things that that we do see a potential for is, again, we talk about social distancing and what those recommendations could be from state and local health departments. So when we talk about those recommendations, but we also talk about the spread of the virus. So some of the recommendations that you might have heard or seen are for individuals and for employers to start thinking about what would happen if you have employees or that could be out because of this virus. And one of the big things that we also talk about is if you're sick, stay home. That also includes kids. So if, as an adult, you're sick, we're also saying you probably want to keep your kids home as well. But that also affects if you have kids, you're going to need to probably stay home to take care of them, that type of thing. So we're definitely going to see some effects of absenteeism for employers. But we're also going to see, there has been some recommendations to for people to start asking about what are the policies for telework. So that's definitely one of the things that's important for people to start looking into and asking about those policies, and for employers to start looking at those things. When we talk about emergency preparedness at the business level, we talk about continuity of operations. And so if you have a large portion of your staff that's out, how do you still run your business when you're not physically there, or when they are not physically there? Or looking at it a little bit differently, if there's recommendations coming out from the state or local health department saying, okay, at this point in the response, we actually recommend that you are not physically together, how can you still run your business?
So we certainly at the city level are looking at this very thing, what adjustments that the city can make. And maybe this is a good time to bring in Jeff. Jeff, can you tell us a little bit about the city's emergency operations plan in relation to this? What adjustments that we might be making, and what's in the city's plan?
Right now, we're currently working with the state to integrate their emergency operation plan with our emergency operation plan. We've started off with the water department and working with them on what we can do to be sure that if we have water in a major disaster.
Well, maybe we ought to just go right to that subject, because I know that's been a concern for a lot of people. And the city began preparing for these type of events years ago.
Years ago, correct.
So, Mac, weigh in on this. Tell us where we are with our water, and are there any impacts, effects, disruptions anticipated associated with this?
Not with the coronavirus. Our water systems can be run remotely, meaning we don't have to have anybody on site. The water is chlorinated, it's treated, there's no concern. While having water storage at your residence is a good idea, the city will still be able to maintain the water system and supply clean, healthy water.
Great. And so tell us some of the other preparations that we've made. I know, Mac, you and I have had conversations about this for some time, and we're always looking at this. And certainly we have identified that one of the number one priorities for the city is to make sure that water flows no matter what, no matter what else is going on in the world. Water is flowing to our homes. So can you give us a quick rundown of some of the things that we've done as a city?
We've added two generators in case of emergency situations where we lose power. So we have two wells that would easily handle the consumption aspect of the water. Obviously we wouldn't be watering yards, but we'd have enough water to supply residents, fire flows, storage, and those type of aspects.
And that's only if we lost power for some reason.
Everything is ran on a SCADA system, which basically means the computerized system we set thresholds. And at those thresholds, the wells will turn on or off depending on what is needed. It really is self-efficient. It doesn't take a whole lot of actual physical bodies there to run this system.
And then, Mac, how many sources of water do we have?
So we have four wells, and then we also have contracted water with the Central Utah Water Conservancy District.
So we are redundant.
We are very redundant.
Okay. So we have power backups. We have redundant supply sources.
Correct.
We have chlorination.
Correct.
And water testing.
Correct. Weekly.
All right. So it sounds like we're pretty well covered. Can you talk to us a little bit more? This working remotely, that's intriguing. And certainly that works, that ability works in our favor to deal with things like this. How does that remote service work?
So the remote service is basically like I was talking about the SCADA system. There's set points that turn on and off. We have the ability to log in remote and verify everything that's going on in the city. We have alarms, threshold points. If they get below or too high, it sends out alarms. That way we as an employee can, get out there and maintain any issues. But typically this remote system allows us to operate this whole facility from my living room if I wanted to.
Linda, can I pull you into this conversation just a moment? I know one of the things that we have done is, and this has been around for a while, this isn't brand new, but online bill pay, online communications, things like that. So people don't, if they don't want to leave their homes for whatever reason, whether it's concern for their health, a concern for others' health, or maybe they just have other things going on, we want to make it more efficient and easier. Can you give us any information on steps this city has taken on whether it's online bill pay or any of those?
Yes, I think we've made a good effort over the last several years to increase our digital services, including the online bill pay. We've also developed several channels of communication in the city. So whatever residents' preferences are, whether that be social media or receiving notifications via email or text, we have those things already in place. And to register for those notifications, again, you would go to emcity.org/notify-me. And they can choose their preferences as far as if they only want to receive emergency alerts. There's a checkbox for that. And then if you're interested in news, events, and other notices, you can make those preferences known. But we have been meeting, as Jeff mentioned, on a weekly basis to talk about the work from home options. And I think we're in pretty good shape so far at the city. And Jeff also has been getting radios in place for, radio communication if that's necessary. So we're just trying to do the best that we can to anticipate how we can still provide services, essential services to residents.
Okay, and if I am not currently paying my utility bill online, what do I need to do?
So if you go to the city website at eaglemountaincity.com and under departments go to utility billing, there is a user guide there and a link to register for Express Bill Pay, the online bill pay provider. And the guide will walk you through everything you need to know to set up your account and manage it from your home.
Great. Yeah. So we want to encourage everyone to, if you haven't signed up for notifications, please do so. If you haven't signed up for online bill pay, we encourage you to do that as well. Just it'll make life easier for everyone. And we will, as a city, we'll keep you posted on exactly any new data that we receive and certainly do everything we can to make everyone's life simpler, easier, and less stressful. Jeff, coming back to you. So what else is the city doing deal with, emergency concerns and just opportunities for our residents to be involved? How are we engaged there?
We've been offering some classes, training. It's the second Thursday of every month here at City Hall. We've put together a team. We've got a Be Ready Eagle Mountain City team that consists of CERT, ham radio, and then just training over and above the CERT training that you would get if you were CERT trained. We got a class coming up March 12th. It's on VOADS, evacuation, sheltering, and feeding. We encourage everybody to come out and kind of learn a little bit about what that and it's a really great class. So
these things are not to create any additional stress or panic. This is just information and training because once we get through COVID-19, there may be something else we'll have to deal with. And this has been an emphasis here within the city for some time, and we are continually evaluating, reevaluating what the city has done, where we are, and what more we can do to put ourselves in a better place, dealing with any particular emergency type of scenario, and ways that we can help our residents help themselves to be more informed, to be more prepared. I'm excited and pleased with these efforts, and it's one of those things we're never really finished, right? So,
right.
What else have we covered all the bases there with everything that we're doing as a city in our emergency preparedness? Because this has been an emphasis. This is not something coronavirus, COVID-19 is not something we're just getting caught unprepared here. We're quite prepared, but we're always looking for ways, areas we can improve in, and certainly one of those is working with our residents.
Yeah, we try to get as much information out to the residents as we can, training wise, and the more our residents can be prepared, I think the smoother things will go. Just working with them and giving them the opportunity to come and have the training.
Yeah, and definitely, if anyone has any questions, where do they go? If they have questions, they want to contact someone, how do they do that?
So they could go to the website, the Eagle Mountain City website, go to departments, go to emergency management, and then there's all the information there for our different groups. If they want ham radio training, we've got our ham radio liaison, David Bacar, and just our Be Ready Eagle Mountain volunteer liaison is Anjanelle Larson, and then our CERT is Rich Rutledge and Bill Lindsay. So.
And Jeff, for those that don't know what CERT is, what does CERT stand for? That's an acronym.
Community Emergency Response Team.
We've had quite a bit of interest in ham radio lately. How does that fit into the big picture?
So ham radio is huge in emergency management. You get the phone system going down or whatever else, it still gives the communication to where we can communicate. The city, our EOC, can communicate with the volunteers and residents and keep things organized that way with communications.
So it really gives us, a backup. Let's say we're already dealing with a COVID-19. We're trying to stay home, stay safe, keep those that are at risk, keep them protected, right? And let's say we have another layer of something we have to deal with. Maybe the cell towers go down. I don't know how that happens, but let's say maybe it does. Whether it's through power failure, maybe it's an earthquake, I don't know. But you get another layer, that's a lot of stress. And so certainly communication becomes very important to them because we're so reliant on our cell phones now. And if we lost cell service, those radios give us another way to communicate.
Correct. Yeah, we've licensed 48 people in 2019. So we're at about 150 people in the city that have their ham radio license. So I think that's a great start to what we're doing.
Great. Okay, Aislinn, is there anything else that we need to cover here from the county perspective that our residents might want to know?
When we possibly get our first COVID-19 case in Utah County, I think that will change in terms of residents wanting to contact their local health department, wanting to contact the Utah County Health Department directly. When that does happen, we will activate a local hotline for residents to either contact the health department directly, or we will activate the 211 response line. That will just depend on the number of calls that we're getting. So that will kind of depend on when we get our first case locally. One additional thing that I'll put out there is that there is a way for residents to get important health updates from the health department. They can text UC Health to 888-777. That is not just for COVID-19, that's for kind of any health-related update. and the health department will push out important updates to you. We certainly could use that for COVID-19 if there's something that comes down the line that is important that we need to push out to residents. And again, that is, you can text UC Health to 888-777, and that's an opt-in notification system, and you would just receive a text from the health department. So for important health updates, that's a good way to receive notifications.
Okay, and Linda, maybe we can come back to you for just a moment. So as people hear rumors, like, you know, Aislinn mentioned earlier, whether it's on Facebook or wherever, they're going to look for verification. And certainly as a city, that's something that we'll be doing, is verifying information, sending out accurate information to our residents.
Yes, it's really important for people to only get information from official sources, as Aislinn mentioned. Another thing I wanted to mention that the Utah Department of Health has shared with us is, as follow-up to what Aislinn said about not overwhelming our healthcare system at this point, is one of the biggest concerns of people with just similar symptoms who are concerned about COVID-19. They have said that the key criteria is if you've traveled to an area where COVID-19 is actively spreading or have been in close physical contact with somebody who has been confirmed to have COVID-19, you should be aware the symptoms are fever, cough, and difficulty breathing, as Aislinn said. Only if you meet these criteria, travel to an affected area, close contact with a confirmed case, and are symptomatic, should you seek out medical care. And as Aislinn mentioned, call or use a telehealth option before you come in. So through the city communication channels, we will be sharing information as we get new developments with this, either from the county or the state or the task force. These are the legitimate sources, and we certainly don't want people to panic or have unnecessary fear. We want to focus on protecting the vulnerable, who are the people who are more vulnerable to this, and not overwhelming our healthcare resources.
Very good. So, yeah, we want everyone to know, we want all of our listeners to know that as a city, as an Eagle Mountain city, we take our responsibilities very seriously, and we will be doing everything that we can to help inform and protect our residents. We have taken quite a few measures to make sure that water flow will not be interrupted, and to provide classes for those that want to be more involved and want to learn more. So all of this, again, is not to heighten concern, but certainly just make all of us more aware and more at ease that we're doing what's right, that that we'll have the medical care that we need, we'll have water, we'll have power, and normal life will be hopefully disrupted as little as possible. That's really what we're trying to accomplish, and protect those small segments of our community that are somewhat vulnerable to this type of virus. So so this is Mayor Tom Westmoreland. Our production team has been John Zero and Linda Peterson. We want to thank Aislinn Tolman-Hill from Utah County Health Department for joining us today. And of course, Max Straw and Jeff Weber. I believe we've covered some good material here that will help us all get through this together. So thank you for listening. You have been listening to Talking Up Eagle Mountain.
Hello, Evan here. If you would like to suggest a topic for a future episode of the podcast, you can send an email to info@emcity.org or send a text message to 801-358-1175. That's 801-358-1175.